everybody. It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Leon Mikeson. How you doing?
Doing good. How you doing?
Good, man. Good. Glad you could hop on this with me. So I guess before we jump into anything, man, just kind of let us know what you've been up to. You know, it's March, about to roll into the warmer weather and everything. So let us know, like, have you been playing shows in the studio? What have you been up to?
Last 2 months, I got some much-needed rest. Pretty much the last year I'd been on the road. Probably hadn't spent more than like a week at a time at home. So it's been nice just getting to hang with Poncho. I got Mr. Poncho right here. And yeah, just being home has been good. We got a record in the chamber, about to start rolling that out. And then gonna get two more records tracked this year. So
busy year.
Yeah, man. Always something.
Yeah. Always good to be busy though, right?
For sure. Yeah. I go crazy when I'm not.
Yeah, I bet. But yeah, and can't wait to dive into what you have coming out a little later. But before we, dive into that kind of thing, just so people could get to know you, who might not yet, can you describe your sound? Because when I listened to you, what hooked me right away was it had that, I love the Americana folk element to it. I hate to make comparisons, but like the John Prine-esque kind of thing, I really picked up on. I guess if you could describe your own style or your own sound, how would you describe it?
Man, like when I started releasing music, I didn't really like set out to make any kind of like I didn't really set out to like fit into a genre necessarily. I just kind of wrote what I was feeling and what felt right. But if I had to kind of box it up and put a bow on it, I'd probably say it's like in that folk Americana country realm. I always tell people like the folk side of country, the country side of folk.
Right.
But it's kind of in that middle lane where, you know,
I can see that. Lives. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. And like you kind of hit on there, like it really doesn't matter anymore about boxing up genres and those genre lines don't really matter.
Everything's country now.
Yeah. Everything's country. Country's rap, rap's country, rock's country. You know, it really doesn't matter. And, if you do want to like, I think the style that you play and, that I guess you could like the community or the scene you're in, you could say, I think just as a listener, I think we're like, it's a really good, in a really good spot right now. I feel like it's like really popping. I don't know if you see that at all, but like that kind of sound I think is huge right now.
For sure, man. I mean, you know, last year we got to do a couple of shows with Turnpike Troubadours and, you know, I'd been a Turnpike fan since I was like 17. So yeah. I mean, I never thought I'd get to see Turnpike play an arena, much less open for him in an arena. So, you know, it is kind of surreal. Like, I'm happy to see the genre doing so well and, you know, so many people taking to it.
Yeah, 100%. Well, now that you mentioned, can you kind of hit more on that? I'm a big Turnpike guy, too. And I just kind of, like, how was that experience like, opening for guys like that?
Unreal. Unreal, man. I mean, that was definitely kind of a bucket list thing for me that, you know, I always wanted something like that to happen, but, you know, never thought it was in the cards. And I'm just, you know, thankful that it happened.
Yeah, those were, if you've been a fan for a while, it sounds like you have, like that, it was really cool to watch those guys come back, you know, like absolutely. After that big hiatus they had, like it was so cool. See them bounce back and the stronger than ever. Yeah. Like the immediate, like just massive group of new fans was just crazy to see.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah, man. That's awesome. And I also kind of wanted to hit on, you're based out of Nashville, correct?
Yes, sir.
So I'm in Cincinnati, about 4 hours north, but I make it down to Nashville when I can for like the Raise Rowdy stuff and all that. And can you kind of describe the more I go to Nashville, like I fall in love with the scene, not just country music, like the rock scene, the culture there.
Sure.
Can you kind of explain how that scene or the culture there like has affected you, like creatively, maybe kept you motivated? Like how has that affected you?
I think it's inspired me more than anything. You know, like when I was first moving to Nashville, I'd heard like stories about it, like being competitive and all this, which I still think that's the case. If you're coming here and trying to be like the best guitar player in town, it's it's a different ball game. But I think with songwriting, it's so like subjective, and you know, like everybody's got a different story to tell. So for me, I mean, it's just been really like fruitful, and you know, getting to be around that many different types of people from that many different, you know, backgrounds and musical backgrounds and that kind of thing. You know, it's been super inspiring, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I've kind of come to learn too, when I met the guys and gals out there. And I've known more artists who are in like the Texas, Oklahoma region out there. And, you know, I get to talk to some of them, and they're all like, you know, some of them, not all of them, like, are like the anti Nashville kind of thing. So
that's definitely a thing in Texas.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Texas has a problem with Nashville. Nashville doesn't have a problem with Texas.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, it was really easy for me at least to like totally just be biased, be like, yeah, you know, fuck Nashville. But then I actually go and I'm like, oh no, this is great. Like it has like the community. I always like
people are great.
Yeah. Like I always like to ask that too, like the community versus like, or I'm sorry, the camaraderie versus like competition aspect. Like, is it like toe, like a line? Like, is it like at a, like healthy amount of both, or is it more competition, more camaraderie? Like
I'd say it's more collaboration, if okay. anything, you know, I think that's what really made me fall in love with this place. You know, like there's, I feel like me and Nashville kind of have like a love and hate relationship. You know, there's mm-hmm. days where I want to pack up and go wherever, and then I miss it, you know, and I come back and I remember why I moved here in the first place. And, you know, the friends that I made, like it's home at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wanted to ask you more about like when you did make that move, because that just seems like such a huge step, not only in the moment for a musician, but in the overall, if you look on their career, like them moving to Nashville could be that big turning point.
Sure.
So how was that decision for you? Like, was it an easy one to make? Was it something you pondered on? Can you kind of run us through that?
It was kind of a no-brainer. I had some friends that were moving to Nashville mm-hmm. from back home, and you know, I, at the time I didn't want to move to Nashville, mm-hmm. but I, deep down I knew it was the right thing to do. You know, mm-hmm. I just, at the time I didn't really want to leave Florida. But then I kind of came to my senses and realized it was a good idea and made the move. The first year that I was here, I just worked a 9-to-5. I didn't really do much with music. I had a record that was like half done, that I was kind of just getting done bit by bit and piecing that together. But pretty much the first year that I was here, I was just meeting people and going out and, you know, just kind of getting the lay of the land, you know, just trying to wrap my head around the whole thing. But after that, I mean, a year in, I quit my job mm-hmm. to pursue this full time. And then 6 months later, I went broke, got another job, and did that for 6 months and then quit again. And I've been full time ever since.
Right. Yeah. I'd imagine that's just such a hard thing to navigate, but it's such a necessary thing that everyone goes through, right? Like you can't really avoid that.
Growing pains.
Yeah, exactly. And I also wanted to ask you about, and correct me if I'm wrong here, by the way, but like, I believe you're under the Cloverdale Records, right? Label mm-hmm. with Evan. And, and he's on a rocket ship right now too. He's another one. So fun to
honestly
watch.
Honestly, like one of the hardest working people I've ever met. Evan's great, man. He's a homie.
Yeah. Can you kind of like run us by like how you guys might've met or how that all came to be with joining the label and everything?
So as far as Cloverdale goes, Evan and Kyle run that label. Mm-hmm. They were, I think this was January of 2024. They were doing like a songwriting camp, and there was like barely anybody on Cloverdale at the time. They were doing a songwriting camp up in Woodstock, and Kyle, Evan's manager, who's now also my manager, he reached out a few months before that, and I didn't know who he was, you know, like what the deal was, and got on the phone with him. He's like, yeah, like we're doing this thing, like you should come on up. And me and another guy, Thomas Rowland, who's in this band called Winya, they're also killing it right now. But yeah, like we ended up going up there and just had a great week. Pretty much all just became really good friends. And I think that's honestly what kind of kicked off the Cloverdale thing is, you know, just us hitting it off and being friends, you know, at the forefront. Like, that's pretty much what it is. And, you know, it's just been, I think it's just been a good thing all around.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like that's always my favorite stories to hear, is like how everything starts out with just being homies with someone. And then like, it does like blossom into something that like, for sure, you're helping each other out, you know, like that's a pretty cool thing. And
I feel like things really like kind of switched, like, you know, the first time I went out on tour and opened for Evan, you know, that kind of started my career off in a weird way. And, you know, I'll always be super thankful to Evan for that. It's been awesome.
Yeah. He's another guy. It's like every time I see, like, whether it's a video of him or something, like, he's always doing some cool shit. Like,
for sure. He's having fun with it too. That's the coolest part about it is, you know, like at the end of the day, like doing music full time, you know, it does get to the point where it does start to feel like a job sometimes, but I think it's important to just, you know, have fun with it. And if you're having fun with it, you know, like, people are going to enjoy getting to follow along and that whole thing. So it all kind of stems from that.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. And I'd like to talk a bit about your, like, just like your actual creative process and everything when you write and stuff like that. My favorite thing about music in general is when an artist isn't afraid to like experiment, and whether it's in the studio, writing at any point along like their creative process. Do you find yourself like experimenting a lot, whether it be with like different sounds or anything like that? And is it natural? Has it always been like a natural thing? Like, can you kind of guide us through that?
I always kind of say, like, I feel like I learned how to write songs just through like learning other songs, you know? So like, you know, I've had different phases of listening to different artists and stuff. Like my home base musically, I'd probably say, is like that old Texas songwriter scene, like Townes Van Zandt, Guy Clark, you know, Steve Earle, like all those guys, and John Prine too. But I don't know, like I've gone through like a Jerry Reed phase, a Hendrix phase, Stevie Ray Vaughan phase, Lightning Hopkins phase, you know, like that. All kind of, I think, bleeds into the music like a good bit, especially depending on what like I'm listening to at the time, and just kind of picking around on those tunes and stuff. It'll kind of force you to write differently, or even, you know, borrowing a buddy's guitar, you know, that kind of forces you to play differently. You know, that all kind of contributes to it too.
Yeah. And that's kind of where I was heading with it, because I think like for me as a listener, what separates like artists who like really have the juice per se to the ones that don't is like the ones, I don't know if progression is the right word, but because there is no real roadmap to what you want to create, but being able to like seamlessly move in and just do something completely different than the last. And like, but the key is that it still sounds like them. And I feel like as I went and like deep dived your stuff and listened back to some of your stuff today, it was like you're able to consistently sound like Leon, but also sound different, like you were saying. Like it's kind of interesting how that could be like really natural for some artists, or some like really have to try to do it.
I think like when I got into music in the first place, and, you know, kind of realized I wanted to do this for a living, I just kind of realized that like I only wanted to do it if it was on my terms, you know, like I didn't otherwise, like, what's the point? I'd rather go work a real job, you know, and that whole thing. But like, I don't know, like for me, it's just anything that I do, like, I just want it to feel natural. And if it doesn't feel natural, I'll pull the plug then and there, and, you know, rethink everything and do something when when it feels natural, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
But right now, the most natural thing is, like, for me at least, just feels like, you know, getting rid of some of my back catalog, and, you know, just get, like, I have a bunch of songs I wrote over the years, and I just want to get all of them out, and I keep writing new ones, and, you know, there's like never a shortage of songs. I guess it's just kind of, I also just really like making records. Like, I feel like my happiest day is like the first day of like a set of recording studio days, and then my least favorite day is like the last day, right? You know, like leaving on the last day. I'm like, shit, man. Like, when am I going to get to go into a studio again? But yeah, I've kind of counteracted that problem by just publicly announcing I'm going to do 2 to 3 records a year. Now I got no other choice.
That's awesome, man. When you do write, and I love asking this too, is when, how do you know when a song is finished? Like, I feel like it might be easy for an artist to overthink songs. I don't know. I'm just a listener, but I feel like that could be a like overthinking a song or not thinking you put enough into it. Like when do you know that a song is finished and it's good to go?
When it's got 2 verses and a chorus. And sometimes if it feels like it needs a bridge, I'll write a bridge for it. But I don't know. I've never really liked bridges that much. Yeah. Like, typically for me, like 2 verses and a chorus, maybe another chorus and a solo. But yeah, like most of the time, like that feels done to me. But if it doesn't, then I'll add a bridge. And, you know, that's, you know, going back to it just feeling natural.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Do you co-write often? Do you like collab around? Was that like something that you've always had a knack for? I feel like that could be a big step too. Oh, how'd you get used to it?
Man, the first co-write I ever had was actually a song off of the last record I put out, Making a Living, Not a Killing. I wrote If That's What It Takes with my good buddy Presley Drake. And that was the first successful co-write. Sorry, Poncho's got his little
phone.
Just living his best life over here. But I was going through a bit of a rough time, and my buddy Presley Drake came by the house. I always tell the story, like, he came by like a good friend with his guitar and a bottle of mezcal. And by the end of that day, we finished that bottle of mezcal. We finished that song, If That's What It Takes.
Yeah.
But I mean, that is the story behind what happened. You know, we weren't planning on writing that day. Like, he was just coming by to check on me and figured we'd sit on the porch and pick a little bit and smash some mezcal. And I had this idea I'd been working on for a few months, and it was like that first. After that, pretty much we kind of just, it just happened naturally. It felt like the right thing to do at that time.
Yeah.
Helped me get over a lot of stuff too that I was going through at the time too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So I wanted to hit on the Bonfire Sessions that dropped in December, man. That one really hooked me. I just love that vibe that those guys do. And
they do such a good job. They're all great dudes.
I was just going to ask, like, can you kind of just tell us about working with them and maybe how that came to be and how the vibe was?
They just reached out. Mm. They, a couple friends that I knew, do you know Julia DeGrazia?
I know the name.
She's a good friend. We played together a couple of times, but she did one of those sessions and they had just kind of started it up at the time, and they do great work. But yeah, they reached out. We made it happen. I think we're actually working on getting another session lined up soon.
Hell yeah.
So that'll be fun.
That's exciting, man. That's awesome.
Damn.
But so with it being March and still kind of the beginning of the year, I could still kind of ask this question without it being too cliche, but with the upcoming year, man, are there any like short-term, long-term goals, like anything you for sure want to accomplish? I know you were mentioning like the music you're wanting to release and everything, but is there anything that off the top of your head that you really want to make sure to get done this year?
Man, honestly, as long as I could just keep making a living doing this, you know, not a Amen. Killing. I don't need to make a killing. I just need to make a living.
Right.
And, you know, that'll keep me happy. I'm just happy to be making music and, you know, calling it a job.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I love that. But, sure. Leon, thank you for hopping on. This was great talking to you.
Me.
But before we go, if you wouldn't mind just hitting back on stuff we could look forward to, like the new music. I know you mentioned it earlier, but if you could maybe hit on that again before
Absolutely.
We head out.
Yeah. Man, yeah. Pretty much I'll have
we're about to start rolling that new record out. It's done. It's in the chamber. I think honestly by May.
Awesome.
Just love leaking that. It a little bit.
Okay. Okay. Very excited. You heard it here.
Heard it here first.
Awesome. And also, man, where can people find you? Website, socials, anything like that?
Instagram, Facebook, if you still use Facebook, TikTok. All yeah, that TikTok. Good stuff.
Yep.
Instagram, like if I had to, I really don't like social media, but if I had to pick a place that I'm probably most on that people can stay updated with stuff, it's Instagram.
Hell yeah. Love that. You guys make sure to do that and please check out Leon's music. It's fantastic and we cannot wait to see what's to come, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you guys make sure to follow along with Leon. Also, check out Ray's Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. We're on everything as well. Google us, we'll pop up. So, thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you guys next time. My boots look good on your bed. And I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night. So, why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight?